Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and also follow us on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, usually, what is my good friend, Harris Wishard, but this week we are enemies. Our teams are matching up in the playoffs. Myself, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. Harris, New York Giants.
Yep.
Going to be some tension this week, but
definitely.
We'll get through the show.
Well, first off, Happy New Year, Nick.
Happy New Year to you too, Harris.
Thank you. Our first show of 2017. I know this is off the glass. We're an NBA production, but the tension is definitely high right now. And knowing the history of this matchup over the last decade or so, and it's amazing that 07 was like 9 years ago now, but you know, a couple of the Giants championships have run through Green Bay, so I know Nick wants to put an end to that streak on Sunday, and then we'll get into our predictions on our next show on Saturday. But we'll try to keep the animosity and the tension and hostility to a low today as we discuss the latest stuff around the NBA.
Yeah, we'll keep it NBA related. Talking NBA, we got to talk about James Harden.
Yeah.
This guy put up a monster game. 53, 17, 16. First time in NBA history anybody's put up 50 points, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists.
Yeah, I was at a New Year's Eve party with some of my friends I haven't seen in a while, and you know, all my Nick friends are mad at me for, you know, not being as loyal to the team and whatnot, but you know, you're not poking fun at them at this point. When a guy like Harden, who has pretty much done it to everybody in the league, it's not like he just specifically picked the Knicks to attack, but when you look at a stat line like this, you know, we knew that the combination of D'Antoni and Harden was going to produce some inflation in his numbers, but I don't think we had anything like this in mind.
Yeah, this was a monster. I remember seeing this. I was not watching the game, but I got the notification on my phone checking up on Twitter, and it just to put up those type of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, like Harden's on a different level now. Where does he rank among the top players in the NBA? I know we hate his defense, but, you know, is he in that top 10, top 5 category?
Yeah, I think with this performance, not even this specific performance, but at the level that he's playing at from a vision standpoint, I remember the comparison to him, and someone, you know, compared him to Melo a couple years ago, and, you know, lack of defense and, you know, offensively thriving. The thing that makes Harden special right now is he's creating for his teammates. He's making Ariza look a lot better. He's making Ryan Anderson's having a good year, Nick. And, you know, these other guys around him are benefiting from his playmaking ability. So I think that alone has him definitely in the MVP discussion. He wasn't in the MVP discussion last year. Obviously, we know Curry was unanimous. But in 15, I know when we started doing the shows together, that was, you know, the talk. It was, you know, Harden had these boys at, you know, the second seed in the West. And now it looks like they're playing at that level again. You know, they had the Mikal issue last season. And by the way, Mikal does a really good job on TNT and NBA TV and stuff. I like him a lot as a
– Yeah, he has some good input.
But back to Harden, he's at an all-time high offensively, and the Rockets are playing at an extremely high level. So I think his name is definitely in the MVP hat, and I think he's a top five talent in this league right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, what he's doing offensively, like you mentioned, D'Antoni's system obviously has helped him.
Yep.
But he's scoring the ball at extremely high pace, and he's also passing the ball very high. You know, like if he was just a great passer and he wasn't even that great of a scorer, he would still be a great player, I feel like, just because his ability. He makes it look so easy when he's handling the basketball.
Well, even last game, I mean, you know, he's only won 6 of 24, but still 10 rebounds, 10 assists. So, you know, 3 straight triple-doubles, and, you know, him and Westbrook – are at an unbelievable clip right now as far as triple doubles go. But, you know, for the most part, outside of that game against the Wizards, you looked at his last 4 games before that, and it was 50% from the field, 56% from the field, 66. So he was really efficient. Then the 9 of 16 game from 3 against the Knicks and got to the line 18 times. He also gets to the line at like a ridiculous, like 10 times a game is nuts.
That doesn't just help him score. It also helps the team because, you know, you're putting pressure on the defense. They're racking up the fouls. They're getting the penalty early, and that's free throws in the whole quarter. So, I mean, that's a big impact. I know a lot of people hate on him for that, but I love the fact that he gets the line so much. It's easy points too.
Yeah, honestly, never been upset about how he played in that way. I know a lot of guys around the league are critical of it. He's, I mean, using his body and his – antics to his advantage. And, you know, that's never been something that really bothered me. I mean, you kind of forget how strong he is. We've pointed to this before, you know, how he physically uses his body. We kind of forget because he doesn't necessarily look like a Westbrook. He's not built like an action figure, but he's certainly someone that can take advantage of smaller guards, and we've seen him do it.
Yeah, he's definitely a strong guy. But talking about the team he did this to, the New York Knicks, the Knicks are struggling now. They lost five straight, lost two of their last eight. They've had some guys miss some time with injury. Porzingis most recently. Yep. What's your take on the Knicks right now?
Well, yeah, the injury bug a little bit with Porzingis and then Carmelo. And, you know, you heard recently P.J. Tucker is a name that you're hearing in the rumor mill. For a perimeter defender. Courtney Lee, I think, has done a real decent job and knows his role. But for the Knicks struggling of late, it's obviously perimeter defense, same old story.
And Tucker brings some toughness. You know, he's one of the toughest dudes out there. He's definitely got a little mean streak to him. Played for, obviously, Hornacek and Phoenix already, so probably
there is
a relationship
some offensive there. There is some offensive chemistry on this team. But I think for the most part, and I was listening to – on a drive, I was listening to Hahn and Humpty today, the show ESPN Radio, Alan Hahn and Rick DiPietro. And they're just referring to the play where Hornacek and Melo had, I think Hornacek was calling a set and Melo kind of backed them out of it.
And waved it off, and then Hornacek was shaking his head.
Right, and then O'Quinn wouldn't go set the screen or something like, and then Derrick Rose called out Carmelo. So we knew there was going to be some tension here, and we knew that there could be some trouble in Knicks land, if a couple losses piled up. But we've seen this story before, and we've seen them struggle on the defensive end before. So this is kind of like nothing new. But I really think they could pull out of this and push through it if they could get healthy. I've seen enough from them to think that they'd be able to get themselves out of this hole. But you know, you look at the game; they lost the Christmas game to the Celtics. Then you know they had Melo get ejected out of the Atlanta game. The Porzingis missed free throws, right? Yeah. And then they go to New Orleans and, you know, struggle with Anthony Davis. And then we have the, you know, the infamous Harden game. And then now the Magic. Yeah, that's a game. I think, you know, okay, they lost a three-game trip on the road. But then you get back at home and you want to think that you could beat a team like Orlando at home.
Yeah. Obviously, the Kristaps injury has hurt them. Mm. They've had the injury bug a little bit. The defense is a problem. And, you know, it's something that they definitely need to get better at. If they want to make the playoffs and if they want to have any playoff success – Tucker seems like a nice choice, but like you mentioned, that Melo thing is definitely not something I want to hear or see if I'm a Knicks fan, especially that type of relationship with a coach. I mean, as a teammate, I'd probably be upset about it too, you know, and he didn't even like get a good shot. He just pulled up for a mid-range fadeaway jump shot. Come on.
You know, this is a team also that's had several coaches in the last few years. So
very true.
Several coaches, several different systems, several players. It's just been – there's no form of consistency here. I mean, D'Antoni, then Woodson, then Fisher, then Rambis for 28 games, now Hornacek. So, you know, since Melo's been added in 2011, it's been nothing but a rocky seesaw, you know, a model of inconsistency that I think it's hard to really build something. And – I think now that, you know, Hornacek, whether he's the man of the future or not, you know, with Porzingis in place, there's opportunity to build. I'm hearing, you know, you're hearing the Knicks fans growing impatient, and you're hearing, you know, from what I hear in New York is that, you know, there are some people that are fed up with Carmelo and want to see him go. So,
well, that's my next question for you. Do you think there's a situation where the Knicks could trade Carmelo and possibly get better, or they should just trade him and then get the young pieces to move forward where Porzingis? Because, you know, Rose is on the one-year deal. Doesn't really matter. And obviously Porzingis is the guy.
Yeah, and we've talked about this not only in the season preview with the Knicks, but also throughout our couple months of this season. Is that we both agree that Porzingis, and this is not us, you know, discovering the cure to cancer, Nick. This is a very easy thing to see that Porzingis is gonna, you know, could have New York eating out of his hand. You know, I, on Christmas, I spoke to my dad and I said, you know, Carmelo Anthony. A couple years ago, I said this in Christmas. I said, do you think Carmelo Anthony could ever get to the point that Patrick Ewing had the Knicks in the 90s. And because there's some about this town, and you'll hear it all the time. You know, you hear about, you know, the Mecca of basketball. You hear about all the great players in the history in New York. And we talk about the Knicks of the 90s and Ewing. And there's that famous picture where he's got his, you know, his arms open. And, you know, he's basically has New York eating out of his hand. And when Melo first got here, I thought that was definitely a possibility. Obviously,
yeah, there was a ton of hype,
Yeah. And they're just, it just doesn't look like that's going to happen. Now, with Porzingis, there is that love there, that initial, there's the hype and there's this glamour with him that he has that connection with the crowd that he'll grow into as he gets older. And the faster that they could get to that, the better off this team will be. And we both agree that when it becomes his team and it's clearly his team, I think the Knicks will be able to get on the right track faster than they are right now and battling 500, you know, whether it's a first round playoff victory or not. I don't think that's really relevant in the grand schemes of things. I think they're really trying to build a championship contender in the big city.
Yeah, very true. And if you recall, it was, I think around this time last year, maybe a week of maybe next week, but the Knicks kind of were looking good all season. They kind of had that meltdown. And then from there on out, so this could be a turning point for the season, the next few games.
Yeah, I think, you know, last year, like I said, they were 20-20, I think, something like that.
And they had some good wins against, like, Atlanta and Miami.
Yeah. And then it just it went downhill from there. And, you know, you look at now, this is an important stretch for them. Yeah, so they got Milwaukee tonight at home, which is a winnable game. And then Milwaukee again. So Indiana, New Orleans, Philly. These are some winnable games for the Knicks. And I think by you know, February 1, you get a much better idea. You know, last year they had their collapse around, you know, middle January, like you talked about. So, no, for them, it's going to be important to avoid that tailspin and try to play some consistent ball going forward and around the All-Star break still be in that mix. So, you know, between the fourth seed in the East and the 12th seed in the East, they're separated by four games. So it doesn't take much to get back into good standing in the East.
Yeah, exactly. It's really competitive right now, which is always good. That means these games mean a lot for everybody. So it's nice to see that. And then over in the West, interesting, you know, this is something we don't see a lot in the West. The Kings are the 8th seed right now, under 500, 15-19.
Boogie.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the Kings will hold on to the spot? You know, Portland's right there. Denver, I mean, all the teams are really right there because 15 wins is obviously not a lot.
We're going to have to, after we talk Kings a little bit, because it's almost January 10th, so we're going to have to get to George Karl's book.
Oh, my God.
that thing, as the NBA world kind of turned upside down, but because it used to, I heard when you mentioned Portland and their struggles, because let's be honest, nobody really expected Portland to be at this point. And then Carl blaming Lillard, and then we know what he said about Melo, Kenyon Martin, and so on and so forth. But yeah, I mean, I think Sacramento can, because I think if Cousins at the 40 game mark, 45 game mark, still sees his team in playoff contention, we've never seen Cousins in the playoffs. We've never seen him have an opportunity to make the playoffs. We've seen the West so good, you know, like teams like Dallas, like have taken a step back, you know, teams like Portland now have taken a step back. You know, there are teams in this Western Conference that we've been accustomed to seeing contend to win 50 games. Obviously, we know the Lakers haven't been themselves the last couple years, but we've seen some teams that, you know, we've seen the West take – is it fair to say not only a couple, but several teams take a step back?
Yeah. I mean, they lost a powerhouse too. Obviously, OKC is still a very good team. But losing Kevin Durant, you know, it doesn't have the same effect. Like you mentioned, Dallas has looked pretty bad this year.
Right.
And so – and Portland obviously didn't have the type of season they were hoping for. Right. So, I mean, I think the West is having a rough year, but you got to remember they still have Golden State and the Spurs at the top. And now it looks like the Rockets are about to have a monster season. So, I mean, it's like weird because 1-7 seems like so much better than 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all those teams are – good teams.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that 8 seed rolls out.
Well, you're looking at ways teams are stealing wins, and you mentioned this is a good point. You know, Durant going to Golden State makes the Thunder vulnerable on a back-to-back when Westbrook has to do more. You know, Memphis has been vulnerable at times, and the Clippers have the injury bug, and the Jazz have been that up and coming team, but they could be got on a certain night. So yeah. Outside of the Rockets, Spurs, and Warriors, which have been teams that all are under 10 losses still, there are some teams in the West that are vulnerable, can be beaten on back-to-backs, can be beaten on road trips on a third or fourth night of a road trip. But if you get this team, if you get the Clippers, Jazz, Thunder, Grizzlies rested at home, you're probably going to get clapped if you're the Kings or the Blazers. But I think the Kings could float a little bit, and they've had some quality wins, and we've also seen them play well earlier in the year too.
Yeah, maybe they make a move for somebody too. Maybe they, you know, add another player, kind of make that push. You know, I think it would be really big for the Kings franchise and for DeMarcus Cousins to make the playoffs.
You know, at Utah was a good win for them.
Yeah, that's a good win.
At Memphis was a good win for them. Other than that, they've beat up on some bad teams. They did beat the Thunder at home. But and then they get Miami at home tonight. They can win this game.
Miami's banged up, so that, and I think Whiteside's going to miss tonight's game. So Cousins, I know, is going to probably go off.
3-6. They're at the start of a very important 7-game homestand right now. And if they could, I know it's Miami, Clippers, Golden State, Detroit, Cleveland, Oklahoma. There's some tough teams in there, but if they could, and you know what it could do for? Would you consider the Kings a young team? Are they really that young, though? No, they do have some veterans mixed in, but
I mean, they're still fair. I would say they're fairly young. I mean, they're obviously, like you said, they have some guys that are definitely veterans in this league. So, I mean, it would be nice for their team success, their team morale, to do something positive like
that. That's what I was going to touch on. It, you know, now that they're around the 8th seed, this is a team that's been covered in turmoil and negative press. And obviously we had the Cousins thing, and, you know, winning does cure everything. So there usually are no exceptions. There are some, but if they could get going on this 7-game homestand, even play well against like the Clippers and Warriors and Cleveland and the Thunder and stuff, and turn in some solid performances and start believing in themselves as they form their identity to the second half of the season, I think that means a lot in what they could do with Cousins, because we just assumed for so long that he was going to be moved. I mean, we don't expect him to compete in the playoffs, but I think it would be a step in the right direction. You see Shaq consistently defending them on TNT because he has, what, part ownership in them still or whatever?
Yeah, I think he does, or some type of thing like that.
So, yeah, It would be nice to see, because I've always kind of – do we give the more talented guys a pass? Sure. Because if there was a guy on the end of the bench that pulls off what Cousins pulls off, he gets cut 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10. So I think both of us kind of like the way Cousins plays, his aggressiveness, but both of us have kind of been a little fed up with, you know, and around the rest of the league too with his attitude, but he's obviously getting away with a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, if you win, it's going to help out. So, I mean, I don't like to compare because they're different, but like Draymond Green, for example, He still obviously catches some hate for what he does, but he gets away with it a little bit more because he's involved in more winning type of plays. Right. Cousins, on the other hand, sometimes his emotion gets him caught up, and then he's yelling at a ref and his guy scoring on the other end. Right. But like you said, winning will kind of help everything, and it'll probably help ease his emotions a little bit.
Right. I was going to touch on that too. It's the best medicine for, you know, it's almost like a – you know, a kid, a baby crying for, you know, just throw him a toy and, you know, tell him to be quiet. And like, it's like one of those situations where this team gets rolling a little bit and all of a sudden DeMarcus Cousins turns into, you know, Gandhi. And, you know, so, you know, we just got to ease his emotions, and because those could be channeled because he's a very passionate person, as we know, if that's channeled in the right way, he could be a good leader for this team. Yeah. I think he has the ability to kind of channel that in a different way and use it in a more positive way, because he does play hard for the most part, that it could be that you win a few games and that could be channeled in a different direction.
Very true. We touched earlier on James Harden putting up 50. We got to give a quick shout out to Jimmy Butler and Isaiah Thomas, both putting up 50 too. Yep. We're blessed to have 350 point performances in that stretch together. So, I mean, Isaiah Thomas is just so impressive to me. Yeah. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's game was great, but Isaiah Thomas, 5'9", yep, maybe, and putting up the numbers that he does and the shots that he hits on a regular basis, it's incredible. I was watching one of the Celtics games over this around New Year's on with my family, and I was like, yeah, this guy's 5'9". They really like didn't believe me that he was so good. And I was just like, yo, you can't stop him. Look how good he is, you know. So, but Butler also, and Butler had a great game, a great 50-point game, and he kind of puts the team on his back sometimes, and he just gets to win. So the Bulls have obviously had some struggles. I know we're going to talk about Rajon Rondo. What do you think about how that whole situation's working out?
Yeah, Rondo, we'll get to the IT. You know, IT, my favorite player of the season so far. You know, now that he's cracked the top five in scoring in the NBA and, you know, the best little scorer since Iverson in his prime. I don't think that's really debatable right now. You know, Thomas had the 52, and then he had the 29 in the fourth, too. And, you know, you look at camaraderie, too, and it looked like the Celtics bench real into that. Obviously told him, push him for 50, turns to his mom in the middle of the game and, you know, says that he's going to go for it. Just a real likable guy, too. Plays hard, about the right things, and has Boston in the right direction, too. So shout out to IT for his 52, and obviously shout out to Butler. And then Butler, it was the Butler who did it against the Nets. Nick, like a week ago, I think that
it was the Nets won on a Randy Foy game winner, and then the next game Butler kills him.
Yep, the Butler.
Shout out to Brooke Lopez though on the play before that. The Nets were down two, and he threw one down on his brother.
He did some brotherly love.
Yeah, and that wasn't the first time he's done that. I was actually at a game when Robin was on New Orleans, and Brooke threw one down on him.
Brooke has been victim to the worst dunk of the NBA season so far. I mean, for him, I mean not the most impressive one. Larry Nance Jr. on the Lakers. So anytime Lopez could put someone in a poster, I think it's that's a 3-for-1 deal. That's one of those where he needs to get 3 posters back for that one poster. Yeah. That Larry Nance poster is making its way onto some walls in Los Angeles right now. So
for sure. Well, I'll give Brooke credit though, because at least he's not scared. He gets dunked on his fair share of times.
Yeah, he does. And
He's not scared to go in there though. So like a lot of guys you will see not even make the rotation. And to be honest, if I was Brooke, I'd be pretty pissed at my perimeter defense, because half the time these guys are getting like blowing past their Anthony Bennett was defending two of the players who dunked on Brooke. It was like Larry Nance Jr. and somebody else who dunked on him in that same week. But
let's touch on Rondo for a second, because this is not the first time we've seen him have trouble with the coaching staff. And I think it really took some veterans to be around him to be in a winning environment with Doc, but then he bounced around with Dallas, then Sacramento. Now he's with Chicago. I've been critical of him in many situations of, I think he's a great prime time player. You know, you get him on a Sunday and against the Cavs on ABC, and the guy looks like a Hall of Famer. But on a Tuesday night against the Sixers at home, he doesn't look, you know, like an NBA player at times. So we've seen him be inconsistent. We know he's the lack of jump shot from Rondo. But I think when right, though, he could still be a contributor on a good team. But what's up with his relationship with Hoiberg here?
I mean, he just hasn't played well. And that obviously some of it's probably the relationship. But also Rondo hasn't played well. Michael Carter Williams comes in. I know Rondo had a meeting with, I think, Hoiberg in the front office about his role going forward.
Yeah.
So maybe you could see him get moved. I mean, I think in the right situation, he could probably still be a good player. But, you know, that lack of jump shot hurts him in the NBA.
Yeah.
And like you said, his inconsistent effort isn't going to help anybody. So.
Yeah. He actually pointed out that got done in the meeting either. And he didn't feel that, you know, anything was really cleared up.
I mean, the thing is, the team probably doesn't really know about his role yet. They want to see how things kind of roll out. And they're not going to give him any information, because what is he going to leak it, and that the team wants to trade him, then his value goes down. So they'll probably wait for the right situation to move him, if they're going to move him at all. I know his contract's pretty favorable for them, so I think they can probably like cut him after this year.
Yeah, and that's I don't know. We also knew that there was a lot going on in that Chicago backcourt. So and Wade's been solid this year, and we know what Butler's done as a premier player now in the Eastern Conference, and you know, could start in the All-Star game. So I thought it could work, but now he seems to be kind of working his way out of the rotation. What, he hasn't played in 2 games now?
Yeah, and like you said, it didn't really make sense from the start. You know, having Rondo, Wade, and Butler, you know, there's only one ball on the court. It worked for a while. They hit a lot of tough shots. Rondo was hitting jump shots. And but, you know, it seemed too good to be true, and that's really what happened.
All right, yeah, so about a month away now from All-Star voting. Well, not a month away from All-Star. All-Star voting will start soon, but about a month away from the All-Star
game. It already started.
Oh, wait, we just started voting?
Yeah, All-Star voting. Anytime you see anybody on Twitter, tweet, hashtag NBA vote.
Yeah. All right, so I asked you this question. We touched on Isaiah Thomas's 52-point game. Is it possible that he takes Kyrie Irving's spot as a starting point guard in the All-Star game, or is it more possible that Jimmy Butler is a starting two over what we assume would be DeRozan?
Both these guys are having great seasons. Obviously, IT is carrying the Celtics, Butler carrying the Bulls. I think Butler probably has a higher possibility of starting just because he's already been to an All-Star game.
Well, Thomas was in one last year, wasn't he?
Oh, Isaiah was in last year.
Yeah, he got like the –
How many –
initially, but – I think after like someone dropped out and they added, he was like a late addition.
What about how many games has Butler been to?
But they're both one-time All-Stars.
One-time All-Stars. I guess if I'm going to have to go with one, Harris, this is a good question. I guess I'm going to go with Butler just because his impact defensively. Isaiah Thomas, I think what will hurt him is his lack of defense, obviously, because of his size.
Well, both guys are going to be in the game.
Yeah, both guys will be in the game. But I'm saying sure.
And so you're going to go with Butler. I think Butler, too, just because I think Kyrie has that spot locked up. I know the breakdown is different now, so it's not solely just the fans. And it's not going to be, you know, strictly a popularity contest. But I think coming off the championship campaign and, you know, the Cavs have been playing relatively well for the most part. So I'm going to agree with you on Butler. But Isaiah's going to make that push. And he's played that well. And he seems to be a real fan favorite and has the respect of players around the league. But I'm going to agree with you on this one. Also, you know, two guys that haven't started in the All-Star game yet either. But again, we'll be All-Stars, Cousins or Davis, more likely to start for the West.
This is a tough one. I'll probably go with Anthony Davis just because I feel like there's a love-hate relationship with DeMarcus Cousins. Some people hate him. Some people love him. Where so Davis, you know, everyone kind of loves him. You don't really get any bad press for him. So I think
Gasol
Anthony Davis
could start again. Gasol started, like, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah. Him and Powell, I think, both started.
Yeah, that was the 15 game, I think.
Yeah, that was pretty cool stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if Gasol would be able to start over these two, especially now with their names and the seasons that they're having. I mean, because they're both almost averaging 30 points a game.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so on this one, I think Davis. So I think it's hard for – because of Cousins, and I mean, listen, they're both now on, they really are both on bad teams. So,
yeah,
not bad teams, like, I think, you know what, Cousins, I think, gets the nod just because the things have been respectable. It's been hard in the past when you look at the All Star break and the Kings have 11 wins to give him the nod. He's been in the game before too, but I think Cousins will definitely start.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans is only one win back though of the Kings, so.
That's true. They played a little better too.
I think, Drew Holiday coming back obviously helped him a lot. Gives him a dynamic player. Tyreek Evans.
LeBron and Holiday had a nice moment.
Yeah, that's nice to see from LeBron.
Yeah, definitely.
But that wraps it up. That's our first pod of 2017. Thank you, Harris. Great show.
Of course. And also now, you know, the next couple of days, you know, me and Mick usually communicate. I think for Thursday and Friday, I'm cutting off communication.
Yeah, I'm going to block that number.
Saturday, we'll be back in action. Enjoy the next couple games. And obviously, you know, we obviously are an NBA show, but maybe a couple of wild card previews. And obviously, we'll discuss the Giants and Packers a little bit. But enjoy the rest of your week. A couple good ESPN games on tonight, too. You know, the Bulls, Cavs, and then Warriors, Blazers. So enjoy these games next couple of days. I'll see you on Saturday.